Thank you both. All right, we're going to go on to case number 8, Mahbub Ali versus Alberto Gonzalez. Ms. Baranik.
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Alexandra Baranik, and I represent Mr. Ali, the petitioner in this matter.
Can I just real quick ask you, has any action to date been taken on Mr. Ali's application for labor certification?
Your Honor, yes. In fact, his labor certification was approved. However, I will take this opportunity to explain what happened after the labor certification was approved. Subsequently, an I-140 was prepared and filed. Unfortunately, it was denied. A subsequent I-140, overcoming the deficiencies found in the first I-140, was filed and remains pending. While several events have changed the facts of this case, the matter remains live, and Mr. Ali's stake in the continuance motion remains. Mr. Ali's labor certification was approved, and I-140 is pending. Therefore, if the matter were before the immigration court, Mr. Ali would be immediately eligible to apply for adjustment of status. The denial of the first I-140 has not rendered the matter moot because an I-140 is pending. If the immigration judge were to deny the application for adjustment of status today because the I-140 had been denied, then that would be a valid and reasoned explanation for denying the request for continuance despite the pending I-140, but that is not the case. It is clear that this court will not entertain the matter of Mr. Ali if it is determined that jurisdiction is not with this court. However, this court has jurisdiction over the present matter. Pursuant to 8 U.S.C. Section 1252 A2C, no court has jurisdiction to review either a judgment for relief under Section 8 U.S.C. 1255 or any decision of the Attorney General under that subchapter to be in the discretion of the Attorney General. In Subhan v. Ashcroft, in which this court had jurisdiction, this court held, when a request for adjustment of status is denied, there is no judicial review.
Which case? Say it again.
I'm sorry, Subhan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Okay. Subhan.
Subhan.
That's right.
Thank you, Your Honor. When a request for adjustment of status is denied, there is no judicial review because the denial is one of the discretionary orders expressly made non-reviewable by Section 1252 A2B. However, just as in Subhan, in this matter, discretion was not exercised to deny requested adjustment of status. Instead, the denial of the continuance prevented the alien from obtaining action on his request. Moreover, just as in Subhan, the final decision of the immigration judge in this matter was the order removing Mr. Ali. Because the order of removal is not a discretionary decision, review is not precluded. The government, in its brief, cites to Ben Slimane v. Gonzalez for the holding that, in general, a discretionary decision to deny continuance is non-reviewable under 8 U.S.C. 1252 A2B2. However, in the same case, this court held that, just as in Subhan, the denial of the motion to continue had the effect of a substantive ruling on the application to adjust status and was therefore judicially reviewable.
That's a pretty big loophole. If that case is to be interpreted as broadly as you're suggesting. Is there any limiting principle on that? I mean, if we can get at the denial of continuance because the denial of the continuance led to the removal order and we have jurisdiction to review the removal order, it seems to me that guts the jurisdictional bar in the statute.
Well, if we're to interpret the decision of Subhan stated that to...
Perhaps that case is to be more narrowly
construed. More narrow than I'm interpreting it.
So take a stab at that, maybe.
Thank you. the decision in what I would like to state is that Subhan is completely analogous to our situation. In Subhan, the immigration judge denied the motion to continue and ordered removal because he stated that Subhan was not eligible for the form of relief at this time, meaning the labor certification was not approved. You're not eligible for adjustment of status. I'm denying your case today. But the court in Saphan found that this was not a reason for denying the motion for a continuance, but merely a statement of the obvious, that the Labor Departments had not yet acted. And that is exactly the situation that we have here. The immigration stated, I am denying your case today because you're not eligible for adjustment of status today. Well, that's just a statement of the obvious, because the Labor Department had not yet acted, and that's why Mr. Ali was not eligible for adjustment of status.
But now they have acted.
Now they have acted. It's been approved.
Right.
And he has a pending I-140. So now, today, he is eligible to file for adjustment of status if he were before the court, for the immigration court, excuse me. So today, he is absolutely eligible for adjustment of status with the pending I-140. In addition, the immigration judge stated that he was denying the request for a continuance as a matter of discretion because Mr. Ali was in the United States illegally. If I could just have a moment. This reasoning is a direct violation of 8 U.S.C. 1255I and is absolutely inconsistent with the statute and simply unreasonable. Most, if not all, individuals in removal proceedings before the immigration court have violated their status in some manner and are in the U.S. illegally. The immigration judge's reasoning is not only a statement of the obvious, it is nonsensical. In Saphan, this court held that Section 1255I was violated by the immigration judge when he denied Saphan a continuance without giving a reason consistent with the statute. Just as in Saphan, the immigration judge in Mr. Ali's matter failed to give a reason consistent with the statute for denying Mr. Ali's request for a continuance. The purpose of 8 U.S.C. 1255I is to allow individuals who have violated their status in the United States and who are here illegally to adjust their status to that of lawful permanent residents. It is therefore completely inconsistent with the statute to deny a request for continuance based on an individual's illegal status in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Pettinato. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the court.
Could I just start you out?
Certainly.
Okay. I, for one, agree that the statement by the BIA that any, you know, continuance would be open-ended really is a reason of... I mean, it really sounds more like a statement of the obvious, just like the one that was rejected by Subban. But now that we've just learned that the labor certification was approved... Take us from there, please.
I will, Your Honor. I was going to address that first because I want to clear up the record on what I believe you've been misled to some degree. First of all, the labor cert, as Petitioner's Counsel just represented, has been approved. The I-140 was originally filed. Now, the I-140 is, in fact, the visa petition. That was denied, as Petitioner's Counsel represented, and now they have filed a second one trying to overcome the denial of the first one. Now, Petitioner's Counsel went on to state that the mere pendency of an I-140 allows an alien to apply for adjustment of status in front of an immigration judge. That is flat wrong. Yeah. That is not supported at all, because in order to proceed on an application for adjustment of status, you have to have an approved visa petition in hand, because every adjustment is based on an approved visa petition, whether it's family-based or employment-based in this case. So, in this case, even if this was in front of the immigration judge today, they're not eligible to apply for adjustment of status because they don't have an approved visa in hand, and the first thing the immigration judge would say is, show me the approved visa. Otherwise, we cannot proceed to an application for adjustment. So, just... So that the court is absolutely clear, that is not a correct statement that they could proceed in the absence of an approved visa. I will just touch briefly on the jurisdictional argument, which is the essence of our argument here. In Saphan and in Ben Salami, this court has said now twice, Judge Posner is on record as saying, the general rule is in all of these continuance cases, just like the case you had two cases ago that Mr. Potter represented the government on, 1252A2BII is a bar to jurisdiction review over denials of continuances by immigration judges. In Subhan, which the government believes is wrongly decided and, in fact, tried to get this court to correct in a petition for rehearing, which the court denied, unfortunately, we're stuck with what this court has decided in Subhan now. The only wiggle room that Judge Posner gave us in Subhan was that the immigration... I'm just telling you, I mean, Subhan is causing us problems across the country because people are looking to what Judge Posner had to say, and the only court that's really reached the issue squarely is Zafar, and I'd ask this court to at least in part consider what the 11th Circuit said in the Zafar decision.
Well, that's why I asked your opponent if there's any way to provide some parameters for the future interpretation of that and application of that decision. Otherwise, it is an enormous loophole.
I agree that their reading of it, that every denial of the continuance leads to a removal order, and if it's a removal order, it's not discretionary, completely and totally guts the review preclusion. That's not... The one hole that Judge Posner left us, the government, in Subhan, Judge Rovner's laughing, she signed off on the decision.
I don't think that you're right, and I don't think the two cases can be, can be made consistent. I mean, Zafar didn't even mention Subhan.
It didn't, because the Zafar case got it right. In terms of what, because Judge, just not that this panel can do anything about it, but in Subhan, Judge Posner said that that the Congress intended that aliens who had filed a labor cert were eligible for adjustment of status under 245I. And that's not at all what Subhan 1255I says. It says you must be eligible for a visa, and you must have an immediately approvable visa. And Judge Posner read into 1255I something that does not exist. He says it was the intent of Congress to allow aliens with pending labor certs to apply for adjustment of status. It's a complete misapprehension of 1255I.
Oh, are you lucky he's not sitting here?
I was ready to face him down, Your Honor. I actually thought he might be here today.
Oh, and when shall we go call him?
So that brings me back to the only explanation that we can, the only room we have in Subhan, and that's if the immigration judge offers an explanation. In this case, Judge Posner said stating the obvious you simply can't state the obvious. Well, what happened in Subhan was the obvious reason. Just because it's obvious doesn't mean it's not a reason. And in this particular case, the board's explanation was that, in fact, any continuance would be open-ended, which I maintain is the functional equivalent of what Judge Posner said would be a reasoned explanation in Subhan. And he said this would be perfectly reasonable if the immigration judge had said, quote, that an illegal alien should not be allowed to delay his removal proceedings beyond a year. In other words, you cannot drag these cases on forever in front of the immigration judges. If they don't have any relief available, then they shouldn't be allowed to delay their cases indefinitely. Well, and essentially, that's what the board also was saying when it said it shouldn't be open-ended, and any possibility, the possibility that there might be, it might be granted is speculative, is what the board also said. And while that may be obvious, that certainly is sufficient. Maybe the reason that Judge Posner gave in Subhan that illegal aliens should not be able to delay the removal proceedings could also be characterized as stating the obvious. But however, it is a reason, and he said that would be a reasoned explanation that would be sufficient to reconcile the denial of the continuance with 1255I. Essentially, Subhan has created a rule now that says anytime an alien files a labor cert, whether it's meritorious, non-meritorious, or whatever, immigration judges' hands are tied. They cannot do their statutory or regulatory duties. They're creatures of statute and regulation, and they're limited to doing three things: finding removability, adjudicating applications for relief, and entering orders of removal. That's their three functions. But under this court's decision in Subhan, an alien who comes in can essentially thumb his nose at the immigration judge and say, I am entitled, because Judge Posner says I am entitled to sit here and park myself in proceedings indefinitely. In this case, the hearing was back in 2003, and I believe they just had the labor cert approved 3 years later. I can park myself in your proceedings, and you cannot touch me under the Subhan decision, and I'm going to sit here and tie up your docket forever.
Look, unless I miss something, I don't think that the government attempted to defend either of the IJ's reasons for denying a continuance here.
Well, we didn't, because essentially the immigration judge gave four reasons. He says, one, you're not prima facie eligible. Well, according to Judge Posner, that would be stating the obvious. He also said, they also said that the immigrant visa is not immediately available. Well, Judge Posner would say that's the obvious. And they also cited one of the third reasons they said was, hey, under board case law, the board has never held that even the pendency of an I-140, an employment-based visa, is sufficient to delay proceedings and require us to grant a continuance. And in this case, they were one step even before having an I-140. The board has all sorts of case law that says even the pendency of an I-140 isn't sufficient to get a continuance.
Well, here's what I think. I think that because there was no reply brief filed, and we really should have known that this was a case of change circumstance, and it is a case of change circumstance. I think I'm going to give how much time do you want to file a supplemental brief?
I can do it in 10 days or whatever you want. On what issue? What do you want me to write on?
Well, on the fact that he now has his labor certification.
I can do that, Your Honor.
And where are we?
I think the court knows.
I mean, that was the issue in this case.
Right. And
When you walked in.
Right.
When you walk out, it's not exactly.
Right. I will file something. But essentially, what it's going to tell you is this, what I've said, is that they're not eligible for applied for adjustment. I think, Judge Rovner, you understand that because you've seen other cases that, and understand, absent a visa petition, no eligibility for adjustment of status.
10 days.
Okay.
And we'll give you 10 days to respond. Yes, of course.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I would like to point out that an I-140 and an adjustment of status can be concurrently filed if a visa is immediately available. At this time, today, there are visas immediately available for those individuals who filed labor certifications before September of 2001. Mr. Ali filed his in April of 2001. That means that he can concurrently file his I-140 and adjustment of status application, and therefore he is eligible today, and he has been for several months, to have filed an application for adjustment of status. I would also like to point out.
Now, has he done so?
He can't, because he's not before the immigration court, Your Honor. He has nowhere to file an application at this point. Jurisdiction is not with Citizenship and Immigration Services. So he doesn't have anywhere to file the application, but he is absolutely eligible to do so.
Well, what kind of a catch? I mean, what?
If the immigration judge had based his decision on the fact that the case was not...
So are you saying that if we remand,
yes,
then he will be able to move forward? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm absolutely saying that. That if this matter is remanded, he is absolutely eligible to file his application for adjustment of status. If at that point an immigration judge makes a decision that Mr. Ali is
not... All right, this is what we're going to do. You're going to file first, and then you'll have 10 days to respond. And let's take this case under advisement.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, you have another minute if there's something else you want to add.
Well, I would like to add that had the immigration judge denied the case based on the merits, I wouldn't be standing here today, Your Honor. That Subhan stands for the premise that the decision and reasoning of the immigration judge must be consistent with the statute. The decision to deny and the reasoning must be consistent with the statute, and that was not the case. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. All right. We'll go on to the last case, which is Miller.